Today's scripture reading, kind of main reading, was about feeding 5,000. Actually, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So according to Matthew, it could be 10,000, it could be 15,000. So when I was reading this, my mind was wondering, so what should be my focus? Every time I read a scripture and prepare a message, that's what I do, because I do not have anything written. So I need to find what is the main message that I can tie everything together. So I was looking at it. It's a miracle. There was only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. There are about 5,000 men plus. So somehow after feeding them all with this, they collected leftovers, which are 12 basketful of bread. How could that be? So that is such an amazing miracle story. And then my mind was going a little deeper and kind of sidetracked. So what does that really mean? It might have happened 2,000 years ago. So what does that mean to me? I haven't seen it. I haven't eaten that bread. So I checked. I was going through the Bible, and there's this obvious theme about somehow God wants to feed people. It begins actually in Genesis, very early. Right after creating humans, somehow Genesis mentions about what you're supposed to eat. The fruits from the trees should be your food. So God somehow always makes sure that we have food. And if you read this particular story about Joseph, this is quite an amazing story. You know that he was sold by his own brothers as a slave. Then he became probably housemaster of this Egyptian man. And then he was in prison because of his wife. And then he saw visions and dreams and giving dream interpretations. And finally, dream interpretation of Pharaoh made him to be the almost prime minister of Egypt when this huge famine was coming to all lands. So because of him, his whole family was saved. So in this particular story, this is climax. Everything is happening, that his family are now like having 2 great news that they will no longer starve. Why? Because their little brother is in charge of Egypt. The country has all the food. But at the same time, there is this reconciliation between the family. That Joseph is forgiving his brothers, acknowledging the divine plan. That maybe it was all the act of God. You guys did not really betray me by selling me. It was all the act of God. There's a love coming back. And also, this old father who lost his beloved son, finally getting him back. Remember the story of Jacob, that the love of his life was Rachel. First, the son from Rachel was Joseph. It means something. And then, one day, he lost him. He thought he was dead, torn by wild beast. Now, suddenly, the news comes, he's not dead. But yet, see, whole thing somehow is wrapping up in a very rapid way of this small little story. So I thought, maybe the whole message about this food thing in the whole Bible is maybe about love. Because obviously we need 2 different kinds of food. One for our physical body. But I believe you know better now these days that I have read it often from all those psychologists saying that given the condition that you have enough food, you have enough clothing, you have a warm house, are you going to be happy? If that's all you have. You have nobody there to love you. You have nobody there to be loved by you. Can you be happy? Yes, you cannot. Sometimes infants, if you put them in such a condition, like if infants are in the condition that they have all physical needs are all well provided, but they miss the person who gives them love in a consistent and persistent basis, they may develop serious problems or may die. So it is actually true, scientifically true, that one of the most important ingredients that makes us living is love from others. And the essence of that love is from God. So my first question to you is, do you love somebody? Do you have somebody in your heart that you love? What is it that you're willing to do for them? The Bible says that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And Chirumbok explains that the essence of God is love itself. We could say that we are created in the image and likeness of love. And the nature of love is to, one, to give everything of my own to you, and also to have joy in of you as my joy. So God created, or creation story begins with this understanding that love itself cannot be just there itself and be love. It's almost impossible. So the nature of love is to love, meaning to give love, but also to want to be loved. It is an innate desire that we all have. We all want to be loved. When we're little and children, we can express that with more clear and a louder voice. Mommy, daddy, kiss me, and that's okay. But when you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, if you do that, people will look at you, right? But your heart don't change. That's what you want. You want people to love you. In a way, America, we have, like, people are seeking fame, to be famous. They want to be famous. Probably unconsciously, what they're desiring is that they want to be loved. They want to be acknowledged by many people and by loved by more people. So it is just innate condition that we're born, that we want to love, but we also want to be loved. This is a great condition to be in, and this is the source of all the trouble you have. Isn't that great? Yes, love is the answer to all our problems. At the same time, love is the problem for all our problems. Source of all our problems. Why? Because, for example, a loving couple, husband and wife. Now, if your desire is, in a very mutual way, that husband wants to give love, wife wants to receive love, and then wife wants to give the love, husband wants to receive it, it works just like magic. What about both of them want to be loved at the same time? What happens? Well, fingers goes, you know, pointing at each other. You're not loving me enough. You're not giving me enough. I thought you will do this and this and this. You're not doing it. You're not loving me. Well, the other way also sometimes problematic. Now, both of them want to give love without receiving. being willing to be loved. I believe as we get older, it takes kind of challenge and courage to open up and saying, yes, I want to be loved, but also I want to give love too. Why am I saying this with this interesting scripture reading that God fed 5,000 people? This is the way I read the Bible. Maybe it's because of Swedenborg's correspondences, maybe because my Asian background of reading Buddhist scripture for a long time. If you ever know about how Buddhists read, or at least the Korean Buddhist, that's all I know. So they take one word and they try to understand this word in 360 different aspects. Why? Because word is something that captures the idea and thought, and they believe the idea is from the enlightened one. Therefore, it should have hidden meanings in all aspects. It cannot just mean the word itself. That's how I was taught. And that's kind of one of my practices when I read Bible, so that I notice small little things that sometimes people don't really notice. Like in this particular story, well, Jesus was kind of running away from the people. He crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And people kind of chased after him. So if you are going to the east side of the Sea of Galilee, you're not exactly in the ancient land of Canaan. It's kind of outside that area. And as story goes, but this was Passover of the festival of the Jews. This is Passover. Very important one. And the story goes, now here comes suddenly Philip. How many times do you hear the name Philip appears in the Gospels? Not that many times. Philip means what, like lover of horse? So probably means, in Swedenborg's understanding, kind of understanding, our understanding. Just keep that in your mind. That Philip comes in, and Jesus is challenging Philip, where should we buy the food to feed those people? How many times do you hear him asking that question? This is first time and ever. Well, this story is written in all four Gospels. So it sounds like four times, but actually just once. And it goes, well, it says to test him, right? And Philip's response, 6 months' wage would not buy enough bread for each of them to get just a little. So response is, Lord, why do you ask me? We don't have money. Right? And then here comes Andrew. This is another interesting thing to me. How many times do you hear in gospel Andrew actually speaking up? Almost zero, like one or two. Peter, his great big brother, speaks a lot. But Andrew is somehow like very hidden. But in Swedenborg's correspondences, which I really like, is Andrew means charity. Andrew is good. Peter is kind of faith and understanding and the truth. But Andrew is good. Charity. Love. Somehow, isn't it obvious that this knowledge, understanding side is always noisy and standing out, and this kind of good is somewhat hidden behind? But this time, Andrew is coming up to Jesus and saying, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Why boy? Why not a rich man, not a rich merchant, have full load of bread and wine? Why just a boy? Right? It all has meaning. It has to have a meaning. Don't you agree? It's an old story that is written here to give us lessons about faith and love. So there's a boy. Not a man, not a young man, not an old man, just a boy. Boy somehow symbolizes somewhat just before hitting the puberty, meaning still with innocence. This is something that we have some knowledge and understanding about truth with still some purity. We still believe something. Maybe childish, but that's okay. Maybe, you know, like, God loves me no matter what. I just believe it. People challenge you, you're saying, I just believe it. That's fine. Boy has 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. And that was enough to Jesus to feed all the people. But there's something about this 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. Kind of specific number, right? 5, 2. 5 is the number that is kind of halfway to 10. So Suirunbok picks it up and saying it's number for remains. Remains is, in probably mainline Christian teaching, it's just grace. Maybe we could say grace of God that is impressed in your soul when you are young about love and truth. Or in a different way of saying about you are a lovely being and your life will be meaningful. Okay? No matter what. We kind of simplify too much with the word the good and truth in our Swedenborgian tradition that sometimes to the point it doesn't much make any sense. But this impressions that made to your soul, to your heart, that no matter what happens, you're lovely being. No matter what happens, you will have meaning or meaningful life. So that remains. That's what is encountering, counterattacking all the evils and challenges, falsities that we as adults go through. So believe or not, this childish idea that we have is more powerful than probably all the philosophical logics that we gain as adults. And believe it or not, if you really are challenged to the bottom, you get to understand and see that. Because the great ethics book you just read last night has less power than the word or feelings that you had from your grandpa or grandma or your mother when you were 5 or 6. That somehow has this impression, imprinted power in your mind that somehow, regardless of all this, I can still love that person. And people ask why. Can't explain quite clearly, like Graham was putting quite in a wonderful way, actually. He said, you know what he said? He kind of knows what love means, but it's very hard to express what it is. So he will refuse to say what love is. That's what he told me. Isn't that amazing? Love is something that we feel inside. So these barley loaves are this good. Good that is, in Swedenborg's word, to confuse you, good in the exterior of nature. So forget about that one. So what it means is that something good happened in your life that you feel that as good. That is confirmed, actually, factually, to fish. Number 2 stands for good. fish is facts. Swedenborg sees the symbolism of whole ocean as knowledge. And the fish that is moving inside as a concrete being in the sea of knowledge, it's facts. Facts means something that is concrete and undeniable. Why? Because it is fact that I'm holding a Bible in my hand. The meaning of this book may be, you know, to your subjective value, but the fact that I'm holding a Bible on my right hand will never change. Right? So that's facts. Two is good. Barley loaves are also good in our experiential, humane degree good. Something that we have done, we have felt good. And that is attached to a boy. So whose understanding of the truth is not yet fully developed, but it's still innocent. There's a pureness in it. And that is enough to feed 5,000 people and more. That's where the Lord God can do the miracle. So God is not really expecting us to be angels, according to this story. We just do enough from our heart what we know to be good. So, in a practical way, if you love somebody, say you love them and do something about it. Well, nothing special. Call them. Give them a call. Buy them lunch. Make a cup of tea. Remember their birthdays. Send their card. Things like that, right? Small little things. But it matters. That's what it means. Small little goods that we do in our lives that are more factual in a way. But that's good enough for the Lord to take it up and make a miracle of feeding whole your soul. You know, isn't that amazing? To me, that's a really amazing story. That's why I had to talk about love. Because what feeds our soul to the essence is love from God. Essentially, we want to be loved by God, our Creator. But this Creator is maybe too big. And you can't really see this Creator. Have you seen your Creator? Probably not. So, we have each other who are equally created in the image and likeness of the Creator. So we give love to you and you and you. But also, I want to be loved by you and you and you. So there's nothing wrong with that desire to be loved by other people. But at the same time, there has to be a balance. Because as we know, there's a term we call childish and selfish. So there is a very unique balance we need to find in ourselves, that our desire to be loved and our desire to love. It's like yin and yang. If you have too much of yin, you get cold. If you have too much of yang, it'll burn you. Both will lead you into trouble. Just enough yin, enough yang makes you a balanced and a kind of perpetuate in a way of creation. That's, by the way, Taoism. It's one of my principles. So, yes, you are created to love and to be loved. Isn't that great? In a way, you have right to be loved, all of you. You're beautiful the way you are to be loved. And your life is meaningful. No matter how human standard tells you, your life is always meaningful. Why? This meaning is attached to God, not to this world. And that's what you desire inside. And that's why probably the story is saying, 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000, we can ask a silly question. Who counted them? In ancient days, how can they count? It's 5,000 exact. Even nowadays, can you count those people who are coming to the festival? We don't. We just think, oh, maybe near 10,000, give or take. Could be 6,000, could be 12,000. That's how we do. So, but they put exact number because everything has meaning in attached to it. And number five goes with this God's blessing to us. Remains. In a way, 5,000 means God's promise to magnify this our childish understanding of good and truth to the maximum so that it will be enough to feed our soul. From the boy five barley loaves to feeding 5,000. Somehow, that's what I read when I was reading this story. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. And may God bless you all and make you understand and see yourself as a lovely being the way God created. Amen.